Good evening, everyone. Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Michelle Schwartz in memory of her mother, Fega Bas Aaron Zichron Levracha, and by Beth and Ronnie Stern in memory of Ronnie's mother, Miriam Gittel Bas Yitzchak HaKohen Zichron Levracha. We continue with Parak Gimel of the Mesilas Yesharim. And tonight I want to focus on a passage that, once again, if you're in my Feldheim version, appears on page Yud Ches, from the beginning of the second paragraph, or the first full paragraph on the page. And you'll recall that in this parak, the Ramchal was talking about Chelkei Hazahiros, elements of vigilance, and he was speaking a lot about reflecting upon one's own activities and actions, not just thinking about what your goals are, but trying to come to an honest accounting of where you stand in relation to those goals, and what your actions have been, where they are, and engaging in that honest process of self-examination and introspection. Now, most of that is obviously designed towards identifying character flaws, and then, as we discussed on Tuesday night, engaging in the process of developing some kind of plan or strategy towards self-improvement and eliminating character flaws. But the Ramchal, and it's really not a central passage of Perek Gimel, but it's an important one nonetheless, says that the goal is not only to eliminate character flaws, the goal is to engage in a broader kind of refinement as well. And he says as follows. Achamish Moshu, he says, when you're really probing yourself and your character, Hachakira afilu b'ma'asim hatovim atzman. Your analysis, your self-examination, needs to extend even to the things that you are doing well, even to the things that you are doing right. Lachkor v'liros hayesh b'inyonam eze p'niya asher lo tova, o eze chelek rosh yitztarech lahasiro ulevaro. To determine even when there are better elements of our character, things that we're proud of, things that we are doing well, it behooves us to examine ourselves to determine if there is any way to improve, to determine if there is any kind of corruption, even in our better elements that can use improvement. If there's anything that's that really taints our better actions, to really try to determine that not only are we doing good things, but that we're doing things in the best way that we possibly can. It's a passage that stands out to me in a number of ways. Number one, I think it's important to understand that the process of teshuvah is not always sin-focused. Sometimes we get very negative in the process of self-improvement, and we engage in a kind of, or we imagine that we have to engage in, a kind of self-excoriating self-examination, which we're identifying sins and flaws and all the things that we do bad, and chatasi avisi pashati, etc., etc. And sometimes the process of self-improvement need not be a self-flagellation. It doesn't need to be highlighting all the things that we do wrong and that we're terrible about. Sometimes it could just be an eye towards improvement. Improvement is something that we're always striving to do. And even if we're doing things well, the Ramchal says, there's always room to get better. There's always room to be improving further. We're familiar with the notion that tzaddikim are judged on a different level than average folk because of the high spiritual attainments and levels that they have achieved. But they are also obligated in the mitzvah of teshuvah. Even people who aren't doing averos in an overt way have teshuvah as well, because there's always room to further improve upon even the accomplishments that we have and the things that we are doing right. And it also stands out to me because I think we very much live in an age where we embrace a culture in which the good things that we do are often, I'm not going to say flawed, but they're often, or tainted, but they're often, they often deviate from the best possible performance that we can, and they're often moved from a kind of pristine mitzvah performance, or just goodness and decency in a pristine sense that they can. Let me highlight what I mean. My brother is a Rebbe in, he teaches Night Seder in Yeshiva University, and he has a Moser Chabura there also. So he has a college-age demographic, probably a little far in age from our demographic, just a little. But he likes doing the following thought experiment. He asks people to just raise their hand and share some kind of chesed experiences or that they've taken part in, like things that they've done. And people will raise their hand and say, I've done X, I've done Y. And, you know, you'll get all sorts of hands, all sorts of people volunteering what they have volunteered for and about in over the course of their lives. And then I'll say the following. Now I want you to share with me some chesed activity that you've engaged in that has never appeared on a college resume, a graduate school resume, on some kind of CV, job application, or something that has furthered your career or academic career, just your general career in one way or another. And all of a sudden, all the hands go down. Because we live in a culture in which we have chesed hours during our high school education, which is great, don't get me wrong. It teaches kids that chesed is a value, but it also subliminally teaches them that chesed is a value that has some kind of ulterior benefit in terms of getting you somewhere, in terms of having some kind of academic benefit towards your career. And we're taught, again, this is the culture that we live in, and I went through it as well from a young age, that any kind of volunteerism or anything that reflects the value of your character needs to be itemized and put on a piece of paper so that you can show it to someone. I spent multiple summers in high school working in for an organization called Kulanu. It's a local Five Towns organization for youngsters with various kinds of handicaps, physical and mental handicaps. And you bet that was on my college resume. It was featuring quite prominently because we're taught that you should itemize and cash in on the good things that you do. I mean, I hate to be cliche, but it's certainly a mentality that has only been exacerbated in the era of social media when, again, we're taught to just almost like flaunt the good things that we do and to show other people how good they are and how wonderful they are. And it infiltrates our culture. Even when we're teaching kids about doing what's right and doing what's and avoiding what's wrong, so often the framework that we use is precisely that framework of climbing the ladder or falling down. It's in terms of benefit and consequences. Why shouldn't you cheat on a test? Cheaters never prosper, right? Because you'll get caught at some point, and then we'll tell them the story about the one time the person got caught and they failed, etc., etc., etc. As opposed to saying honesty is a value and personal integrity is a value. And it's important, irrespective of consequences. It's true not just for kids or adolescents, it's true for adults too. So often when we talk about Torah and mitzvos, and again, I engage in this all the time because to a large degree it's true, but we talk about what we can benefit from them. What is the beauty of a Shabbos table? How much does it add to our personal lives? How much does Torah study add to our personal lives? How much does davening add to our personal lives? And we should highlight those things because they do add to our personal lives, and it's important to appreciate them. But sometimes it's also important to take a step back and say, it's not just what I'm pulling out of it. It's just about doing what's good and what's right. And yes, it's true. Engaging in a chesed activity might help me in terms of climbing or in terms of my academic career or my career at large or whatever the case may be. And it might be true that it enhances my life in terms of gratification and value that I pull out of my everyday. Those are things that I should appreciate. But I also need to appreciate that when it's good and when it's right and when it's something that I should be doing, I'm going to do it anyway just because that is what I should be doing. And that is self-justifying. When something is good and right, it doesn't need the further justification of all the secondary and tertiary benefits that I can pull from it. Those may be true as well, but that's hardly the justification that's necessary. Something that's good and that's right is self-justifying. It doesn't need anything further. And so the Ramchal tells us we need to look at the things that we're doing well also. Again, not in a way that's like I said before, that's too harsh on ourselves or that seeks to find the flaws even in the good things that we do. It's almost like hopeless. Even the good things that we do, we're finding ways in which they're wrong. I wouldn't take this passage that way. I think it's a self-affirming passage rather than a self-denying or negating one. There are areas where we do good things, and it's okay for us to take pride in them, but we should always be striving to do them even better, to make sure that we're not just doing things right, that we're doing them for the right reasons too. And that we're not just doing good things, but we're doing our absolute best in all areas of our lives, always seeking to grow and always seeking to improve.